Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for listening tonight. Tonight's guest is Bob Yearling, who has been a friend for a while. He has spent he has spent 32 years as an award-winning author, poet, magazine journalist, editor. He does all kinds of writing, and he is a teacher of writing and creative workshops. I have been part of one of those workshops, and it has been a wonderful experience. He is currently has just released The Right Time, 366 Exercises to Fulfill Your Writing, and 2007 Independent Publishers Book Award, author of Writing Rights of Life, Using Personal Experiences in Everything You Write. Hello, Bob. How are you doing? First, before you say anything, his website is wordjourneys.com. And you can find lots of information on what he's doing, including a new blog giving some of those exercises from his book to help you along the way. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Doing great, Jen. How are you?
I'm doing good. Always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm not even sure where to start. There's so much to cover with you. Let's start with a book. Why did you come out, or how did this come about for The Right of Time and the exercises?
I started developing the writing exercises about 12 years ago when I started teaching writing workshops. And I just found that every workshop was a little bit different from the one before that. And so I just would kind of feel what the participants were into. And I would create writing exercises for those workshops, sometimes in the middle of them, and then just give them out extemporaneously. And about a year and a half ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a literary agent, and she said, and we were talking, and I mentioned to her that I had about 270 or so writing exercises that I'd tested out with people in my workshops that I created. And she suggested that I write another 100 and form a book with one exercise per day. So that's what I did. And it took a while to get it together, and it had to be compiled and everything. And so I put the book together, and in addition to the writing exercises, which cover every conceivable genre and type of writing, I've thrown in just a few extra little goodies for everyone, inspirational quotes from authors and different spiritual leaders, the sun signs from the Celtic, Native American, and traditional zodiac ways, and some other goodies as well, such as featured websites, more than 120 different writing websites that are particularly good. So it published about, Penn and Publish, who is my publisher, published it about 3 weeks ago, and so far so good on sales.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you always have such wonderful resources in everything you do. Speaking about the workshops, I took one with you, and it was a weekend that really opened my eyes to a lot of different aspects of my writing, and it really did open up kind of like avenues within me that I was expressing in my writing. Is when you do the workshops, is that what you're looking for, or is each workshop slightly or just a little different?
Well, I teach a pretty wide variety of workshops. I do everything from strictly spiritual writing workshops to writing to heal, and then sometimes I do strictly business workshops, such as writing book proposals and how to self-edit your work to get it ready for literary agents and publishers and so forth. But speaking for the workshop, type of workshop you were at and some of the other ones, I have a plan when I go into the workshops, an agenda. But what I do is I always try to read the participants and just see where they're at. And that's very, you know, that's quite easy to do just by simply listening to what they're hoping to gain out of the workshops. And and just listening to them when they converse. The workshop you're speaking of, which happened about 3.5 years ago, if I remember right, there mm-hmm. was a lot of instantaneous healing that went on in that workshop from various participants. In fact, one person in that workshop, she unlocked something that had been blocking her for more than 20 years. And through doing the workshop and just talking and so forth, and she's going to be coming out with a memoir about it next year. That's the greatest joy to me of doing workshops, is just watching, you know, through the writing exercises and through the participants getting into it, just watching healing take place on the spot, or realization, or, you know, just simply really good writing that results from the workshops.
Well, it definitely was amazing. I've been in two. One was based for coaches and the writings that can help their clients through the writing. And the other one was basically more of a healing type of workshop. It was a wonderful experience, and it was interesting, the participants in that workshop, in the fact that so many of them were very spiritual based, so many diverse, different people, yet there really was a common goal of wanting to understand themselves a little deeper through the writing. And I think that's something that you really emphasize, is really getting to know yourself and the inner self, what's going on in your heart and your soul, and putting it down on the paper and realizing what your heart and soul is really trying to tell you. And it is an amazing experience to really see that kind of unfold in the different participants in your workshop. So when you're setting up these workshops, and I understand it, you kind of just get the mood and the energy of the place to really go forward in the book, in the workshops. When you're setting and writing for yourself, do you sit down and say, okay, this is an issue I've been working on, let's write something about it, or is it more spontaneous when you're doing the writing yourself?
If there's something I'm working on, you know, whether it's a personal issue or just something, I'm trying to work out, yes, in that case, I definitely have a plan on at least getting started. But normally when I get up in the morning and journal, I literally write about something different every day, whatever comes to mind first. And then, of course, writing being the great journey that it is, there can be a lot of twists and turns along the way. But the thing I believe about writing, that I think writing is specifically and particularly suited for deep inner personal healing, because it's very safe. Number one, it's a person, the pen or computer, a journal, and they sit down and write, and you have complete privacy, and you just have complete safety and security to go in as deep as you can with whatever it is that needs to be worked out. And the second reason why writing is such a good vehicle of healing is because it's a journey, and you just don't know. Once you start writing, once you get past the cerebral part of it, once you get out of your head and you get into your body a little bit and also get into the intuitive body, you just don't know. Sometimes you literally don't know where it's going to go, and if you trust where it's going, and you trust yourself enough to know that you're going to go to a beneficial place, then intuition kind of takes over, and you literally write yourself right into that area that you need to heal. There's many, many forms of healing, of course, and you're a healer, so you know many of them, and you mm-hmm. practice many of them yourself. But just for anybody who may not have any healing skills or expertise per se, just getting a journal and writing can take you a very long way. And if it doesn't result in complete healing, it will certainly expose the deeper roots of whatever ails or troubles you, so that you can go to somebody and, you know, and take the final steps to heal. But the biggest thing about writing, as I mentioned at the outset of this, is that it's very safe. And as we all know, those of everybody who's had something they needed to work on, safety means everything.
Yes, it definitely does. And something that is very true about everybody else is everybody has a story. Everybody has something that they can express that's truly them, uniquely, very personally. And if they decide to share it, that's great. If it's just for them, all the better. And that's fine. And it is a safe place. I do myself try and journal every day. For the most part, it usually turns out to be a poem every morning as I'm sitting watching the sunrise. But I have been writing for the last 9 years, and it has really been a tremendously exhilarating and bizarre journey. And I know that with everything you go through, and you have had a tremendous journey yourself, all the different forms of writing and all the aspects, you really have covered them all. Is there anything you haven't written on or experienced with writing?
I'm not much for horror writing, I guess. I have written and published in most genres, but that started back when I was a teenager. I was hired in the newspaper business when I was 16, and the editors, I was hired as a sports writer, but the editors saw that I liked to write about more than just sports. So I was very blessed that they just saw this precocious kid in their midst, and they literally took me around. They had me do stories for every conceivable part of the newspaper, and I was already writing poetry at that time. And so between those two things, it just made me very flexible as a writer and able to write about different things every day, which is something I tell everybody in my workshops, is to try to write about something different every day. And then, of course, once I was able to have that kind of flexibility, it became quite easy for me to switch from one genre to another. That's been a really big part of the journey for me, is just not only being able to write about different things, but to write in different genres. And because, you know, there's certain experiences or things that happen that lend themselves better to one genre than the other. For instance, I noticed, you know, I know you write, you literally write a small poem a day, which is very inspirational to anyone who reads them. But if you, for instance, if you didn't know how to write poetry, that could be a little bit more of a challenge for you to encapsulate such sharp images and feelings in just a few choice words. So it's really important, I feel, for all writers to be able to move around from genre to genre, and they might have a specialty. For instance, my specialty is probably creative nonfiction, but being able to write in the different genres, it not only makes you a more versatile writer, but it also makes you a better writer in your genre of specialty.
Right. Now, they keep coming up with different kinds of writings. They're really blending quite a few different things these days. And it's really opening up things with the multimedia as well. Do you think it's good, bad, indifferent that they're adding video and all different kinds of video, audio to books today, that they're really expanding the possibilities with writing a book?
I guess my answer to that question is that it's necessary to continue to have a wide readership base for publishers to go into multimedia products and blend books with different media platforms, as you mentioned. I also guest teach a lot in middle schools and high schools, and we're literally losing our kids to computer. And of course, you know, a lot of some aspects of public education are quite antiquated, and they're just not adjusting to the fact that a kid will not sit down and read the printed page, but he or she will sit down and read a really good blog or a really good website, or they'll sit there and look at a video on one part of their desktop while they're reading about it on another. And I think it's really important, and the publishers are finally starting to get it, that they're coming to the younger generations at the level they're at, which is they're just born multitaskers at this point, and they're born to process their information in a multimedia way. So I think, I don't know if I could quite answer your question as to whether it's good or bad, because I'm kind of split down the middle on that one, but I believe it's completely necessary for the sake of the publishing industry to do this.
Now, right now, speaking of the kids and blogging and all, I actually know somebody who it is a teenager. He is 15 years old, and I was blown away by some of the things he's written. He actually has a blog. My mind goes blank exactly what the name is, and I'm sorry about that. I will research it and put it on the page for people to read. But the amazing thing is he took characters from a book that was published a long ways ago that the actual writer stopped using those characters, and he took those characters and continued the story. And the audience of the kids turning onto his page, and he would write a chapter a day, was getting into the thousands of kids going to see what happened to the characters in the next episode. And I thought it was fascinating that he read a book, was so taken by it that he wanted to expand the story through his vision. And I thought that was wonderful that even the written word was still being processed and used in addition to the blogging. And getting I just thought it was fascinating, and he is a wonderful writer.
Oh, that's brilliant. I mean, that's brilliant because the reason why children's literature has always been so popular is because it's all character driven. I mean, every one of us remember our favorite characters from when we were reading books when we were kids, And that sounds brilliant. I mean, a classic example of someone who did that a century ago was L. Frank Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz. Well, we all know about The Wizard of Oz from the movie and the book and everything else. Well, mainly the movie. But the fact is he wrote many books with those characters. And children that were reading in the early 20th century, well, they knew all the characters, just as you're saying about this young man and the writing that he's doing. So, it's what he's doing sounds wonderful because, again, it's giving kids an emotional connection with memorable characters. And if we can do that as writers, as storytellers, as teachers, then that's our very best hope for creating a more literate generation. Because as it stands right now, that these kids are totally bored with what they're being assigned in school for the most part. And one of the problems is that we're not meeting them where they need to be met, which is on the computer with writing such as this young man that you described as doing, and really dynamic, story-driven, character-driven work, whether it be video or print.
Right. Yes, I'm very familiar with The Wizard of Oz. My mom actually has all of his books.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in first edition. So I'm very familiar, and that's what I was, you know, that is what was read to me as a kid. So I'm very familiar with those characters. And it truly opens up the imagination to see things extended even further. And I think that's one reason even in movies, they're extending it a little bit further with the same characters. I'm not necessarily sure they're really expanding the characters but they're using them. And I think that's what kids need, is something, like you said, to hook them in and keep them going. And it's very true with the video games, with a lot of the things that are on the computers. YouTube is huge. But it's also showing kids the different forms of expression, which to me is really important. Whatever form they use, that's great. I support it 100%. But I do think the written word is something that's really critical for humanity, in the sense that it really is our own histories are being placed before us. So we learn the cycles of what people have gone through, because we all share many of the same lessons, a lot of the same memories in a different form, and the inner divinity, the inner self is very connected with those. Something that I have done in my writing to open those memories is dealing with past lives and telling the story of something that I remember. Do you feel that is great storytelling, healing? Do you have any thoughts on past lives in writing genre?
Yeah, I mean, I've written poetry about past lives and journeys between lives and my own lives, and I think it's really important. I think that the key to all of that, which is again getting back to writing to heal and really spiritual writing, inward writing, is to, and this is a real challenge for writers because we tend to be very cerebral and intellectual, is to go beyond the intellectual and rational mind, and the way to do that is by anchoring our bodies, or anchoring our souls and our minds into our bodies, which is, you know, the essence of meditation, to go deep within and to clear out thoughts and things like that, and then to have the inner divine perceptions. And when we anchor in like that, then we start accessing our cellular memory, which brings up which brings up things like past lives and stuff like that, because it's all stored within us.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that knowing past lives are an interesting thing, because my personal opinion, and that's all it is that I feel that some people spend too much time, just living in their past lives,
mm-hmm.
rather than using their past lives as one would use a well-done astrology chart to inform what the tendencies are in this lifetime, and also looking at it from a more yogic standpoint, to be able to work to burn the samskaras, the seeds of delusion and karma, out of this lifetime. To me, that seems to be the greatest value of past lives.
Right.
And obviously, if we have access to that, then once again, we jump on that vehicle called writing, and we can go real deep into it, just writing our way in. And it almost becomes automatic writing when you get far enough in, where you sit there and you write for a couple of hours about a past life, for instance, and you're just so in the moment. It's almost like writing, it's almost like it is writing in another world. And then you come out of that time period and you look at what you read, and you gain tremendous insight on what's going on in this life. So I think, in answer to your question, the most important thing is writing can definitely amplify and magnify our past life experiences and really bring them out. But I think it's most important with whole past life experiences to use them as beacons for our tendencies that we want to overcome or go with, whatever the case may be, in this life, and not so much to live in those past lives, because, I mean, that's not really being present. That's truly living in the past.
Yeah, I always my past life and say, wow, that's a really neat chapter, next. And after I reflect on it and get it all out, it's like, okay, that's done. And move on to taking the lessons and moving forward so I can change that pattern and move it into a different direction that is more beneficial for everybody around me. I do want to open up the phone lines real quick, Rob, if you don't mind. The number is 888-815-9756. So if you want to call in, if you have questions for Bob Yearling on writing or any of the processes or anything that you would like to talk about when it deals with writing and inner diving is in discovery. Please, you are welcome to call in at any time. A lot of your writing and your poetry there is a lot of personal reflection. Is it hard for you to publish some of those?
It's not hard to write them. I do think it through before I publish them. But I subscribe to something Robert Bly said years ago, the poet Robert Bly, and he says, a true poet stands naked before the audience. And what that means to me is that If I write a poem that can convey, that's deep, that goes far enough to convey a universal truth of some sort, then I, as a poet, feel it's necessary to be willing to stand naked before the audience. Some of my poems are pretty personal, but some of them also look personal, but are truly universal, where it reads as if it's a personal poem, but I'm not even coming from a personal space. I'm coming from a place where I feel like I made a connection where it can apply to everybody. So, yes, sometimes it is hard to... There are several poems I have not published that I just didn't... I just felt were too personal to publish. But I do take that into account every time I put a poetry collection together.
And you basically, there is generally some themes that you follow along with your poetry, and it's wonderful poetry. It's just beautiful. Which do you think is more healing for you, the poetry or the writing, the journal writing, or do they both serve their own purpose?
Oh, they definitely serve their own purposes. I use journal writing for three things. One is just to have some sort of record of different observations and experiences and adventures on a daily basis, different perceptions. Another way I use journaling is for healing and deep reflection and contemplation. If I'm really trying to work something out, or if there's just something new in my life that I really want to learn more about, I'll write it out and I'll experiment and things like that. The other thing I like to use my journal for, which I also tell everybody in workshops that I teach, is I believe for a working writer, a journal should be looked at akin to a chemistry lab, where it's a place where you can go that's safe and secure once again. And you can literally experiment with the written word as it applies to what you feel and what you think and what you want to write about. So you could, one can work with different genres in a journal. They can invent different words, use words in different ways, capture pieces of dialogue, you might have heard while at the beach or at the park or something, describe people. Maybe even take friends or people that you know and rewrite them as characters for potential novels so that you learn how to take away some of the identifying characteristics so it's not obvious who the person is. There's a million and one things that you can do within the journal that actually better prepare you to be a better writer. And so I really like to use the journal as a chemistry lab. And if we use our journals in that manner, then over time, they become gold mines where something that, you might write something in your journal today that you go back to 5 years from now and you'll go, oh my gosh, there's a shirt story right there. And, but when you actually wrote it, you didn't, you know, you were in the middle of writing it, so you didn't have the perspective to step back and see it that way. Or, you might have grown as a writer and as a person to the point where you look back on that thing that you wrote today and see something that can really be worked out with it. So journal's a very, very valuable thing. And so it does differ from poetry, whereas poetry, some of my poems, or most of my poems actually start out as journal entries. Now, I write very spontaneously and very intuitively when I write poetry. So it just comes flying out, and then I'll, mm-hmm. you know, I'll take it out of my journal, and then I'll really work with it and, you know, just get it to where it's metrically and rhythmically right, and it feels like a song of words, and then I'll just go with it at that point.
Now, it's the poetry, you actually have a CD where you have combined poetry and music, correct?
Right.
It's beautifully put together. Did you write the music for that as well? Or was it kind of like a... Go on.
Yeah, I wrote some of the music, and then I also had the great pleasure of working with two other men, Doug Travers, who's a very fine guitarist and musician, and he actually put together the better part of the music, and he also kind of directed our little trio that played together on behind some of the poems. So he played guitars and did the musical production, and then Gerald St. Clair, who's a healer and a shaman based in southeastern New Mexico, he played Native American flute on there. And then I played harmonium and keyboards. So we worked together, but Doug was pretty much the orchestrator of the music, although I wrote some of it, and then of course Gerald, we just let Gerald fly with his spirit on the flute, because there's really nothing else, there's really no other way to approach it with him, because he's so mm-hmm. he's such a great Native American flutist, and of course being a shaman, he's used to flying with the spirit anyways.
Yes. And what is the name of that CD again? I'm sorry.
It's called Nature's Rise.
That's right.
It's available on the universe.
It's, now, is that available on your website?
It's available on CD Universe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you have many websites, don't you? You do many different things. Is wordjourney.com your main focus these days?
Right. Well, I really only have a couple of websites that are truly mine. Wordjourneys.com, I've had that for many years, and that's my main central website. However, I've been doing a lot of editorial services for authors, where I do everything from advise them on how to put their stories together to consulting them when they're putting their stories together, editing, helping them get literary agents, write book proposals, etc. And so I'm actually migrating all of that to a new website called authorstart.com, and that's going to launch in mid-December. And then there's another website I wrote in its entirety called Poetry Through the Ages, which is a wonderful project I worked on. I was hired for about 3 years ago, and where we trace the history of Western poetry all the way back to Sumeria. And what's really interesting about that is a lot of people don't know that since poetry, you know, through time has always been considered more of a, well, just because of the way women have been suppressed and repressed through the ages, men have mostly written poetry, but what a lot of people don't know is that the first poems that were known to have been written were written by a Sumerian woman named Anhe Duana, who was writing odes to Inanna, the goddess Inanna. And so those mm-hmm. are actually the first poems that were recorded, and that's what I found out in the course of doing the research for this book, or this website. Anyways, the website is, it traces back 4,500 years, and it looks at 20 different forms of poetry, But what really excited me about this website is there's a 21st century component where you do 3D participatory poetry called Spicy Notes that download into iPhones and other apps. So it's very much a website that has a historical context, but it's set up for the 21st century, and again, for students to really get into poetry on their terms rather than having to learn about 18th and 19th century poets in the middle of a high school English text or something like that.
Right. Now, poetry is gaining in popularity these days, isn't it?
It is, and I think the biggest reason for that is, the number one reason for poetry gaining in popularity is slam poetry and performance poetry. One of my dear friends is Taylor Motley, who's one of the top slam poets in the world, and he's also a very fine, he's a very fine poet, just traditional poet as well. And I just think the ability to take the voice that goes with the poem, put a human face to it, and watch that human face bring out the voice of the poem before an audience is really exciting a lot of people about poetry. And I would think it is safe to say that the younger generation right now, say 25 under, is the most excited 25 under group when it comes to poetry, as mm-hmm. we've probably seen since the Beatniks.
Yes.
In the 1950s, yeah. Early 60s.
And I've been to a few of the poetry slams in Tucson, and it is a wonderful experience. I hope people find out where their poet slams contests are going, because it's like very spontaneous. A lot of them are just up there and they just do it. And it is amazing. It is a blend of acting and writing and performance and all kinds of things all wrapped into one, and it is fun to watch. It is a fun experience.
It's also a very direct example of multiple genres or cross genres, because as you just mentioned it, there's acting, there's performing, there's writing, there's speaking. I mean, that's four things right there.
And there's even, in some ways, there's a rhythm. It a lot of times, it is a rap without the music.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got the rhythm and the beat to it, and there is a motion to it. So there's almost a dance to it as well. And it is really a wonderful thing to see the young poets and the people expressing their experiences, their way of seeing, their perspective, in such an energetic, honest, and it is truly honest to watch these people perform. It's just amazing. Go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think when you trace back slams and their popularity now and so forth, a lot of people may not agree on this, but I think I really believe the biggest single thing that's happened with poetry in the last 25 years to bring it back to center is hip hop. Because hip hop, and whether we agree or disagree with the lyrics and whether or not we find them in good or bad taste, the fact of the matter is hip hop is a directly personal, grounded, in your face, present, form of poetry brought out through performance. And it reminds me of a lot of rock music lyrics in the 60s and early 70s, in that you take the mirror of the music off of the top, or in the case of hip hop, the beat, and you read the lyrics in there, and it's incredible poetry. And I think that the hip hop has inspired younger people to be very direct and up close and personal with their poetry, and it's huge. I think it's completely responsible for what's going on right now with poetry. And then of course slam is slam has taken the spirit of hip hop and you know, brought it more, made it more specific to the art and craft of poetry itself.
Yeah, it's wonderful to see poetry coming back in any form, because it really is, to me, it captured that moment where, you know, it's like a novel, it's a lot of moments put together. If you want to just have that moment encapsulated, a poem just really does it. It's the emotion, it's the internal coming out. It's just, I just love poetry. So, and that expression of that form is just really, it really captured that, the history of that person in that moment, what they're feeling, what they're seeing, what they're sensing. And with the poet slam, with the slams, the poetry slams, it is amazing the young people and what they're coming out with. And it really does capture history and society. And I've always thought that art reflects society and society reflects art. And I think that the poetry slams really, really emphasize and show that in your face, direct, as you say. And it's just a really beautiful, I'm just really happy to see it. Again, I wanted to tell people, if you do have any comments, any questions, you are welcome to call in. The number again is 888-815-9756. You are welcome to call in. Me and Bob can talk like this for a long time. We're quite used to it. But if you do have any comments or questions, please, it's your show. And Bob is really very good at answering any questions that you might have on writing. If you are a upcoming writer, poet, and you're stuck on something, please, it is really a great way of getting in touch with someone who is really an expert in this field and very open and honest to help you out. So it's a great opportunity for you to call in and see what you want to find out from this man. You have been doing this a long time, and you have traveled around. Do you find that the genres are more popular in one area than the other, or do you find that it's just everywhere? Do you understand my question?
I think I do.
Okay.
Basically, since in Europe, which genres are more popular than they are here?
Okay. Yes.
I think on the whole, what's popular right now is very personal writing. Whether it's you know, really kind of salt of the earth poetry or spiritual poetry, which is also growing immensely, or memoir, which is very big. I think very personal writing is speaking for, you know, both Europe and the United States, I guess. Very personal writing is, and personal expression is big right now. I think a lot of the reason for that is because in the last 40 years or so, and especially in the last 20, with the acceleration of you know, the internet and society as a whole, and some of the things that have been happening, our lives have been really depersonalized by, you know, whether just by social conditions or by just commercialism and things like that. And I think what we're seeing a lot of with writing now is basically a collective whole level response to this this energy that's trying to depersonalize everything. So we're seeing people rediscover their voices or uncover their voices. I like to say I kind of have a problem with people love saying we need to find to go outside ourselves to find our voice, because that's not possible. Mm-mm. Our voice is within us, and it's up to us to go in and get it. And so people are rediscovering or uncovering their voices. They're writing very personally. They're telling their stories. They're being able to attach theme and context to their stories, and then you know, when they drill down and dig deeper and meditate or write deeply about it, they're finding the universal essence and truths of their stories, which of course are points in common with everyone else on the planet. So I feel on the whole, the trend right now is towards the personal. And we're seeing that in everything from novels to creative nonfiction to poetry to essays. I certainly don't see that slowing down anytime soon, especially now that blogging is so big and some of these other media platforms like YouTube and podcasts and things like that are so prevalent.
Mm-hmm. And we do have Chris on line one for you, Bob. She's got a question. Hey, Chris.
Okay.
Hello. It's been a really interesting conversation. I've never published. In fact, I wrote like 3 years of journals and I ended up burning them all.
Oh.
Yeah, it was my way of getting rid of old energy.
Uh-huh.
No, I actually regret doing it, but at the time it was liberating. Sort of bittersweet. What program on the internet do you recommend a new person who wants to start journaling their story or their life?
I just want to clarify the question. Do you mean like one of the journaling websites?
If they wanted to like print it out but use a program on the web on their computer.
Oh, on the computer. Okay. Just wanted to clarify that, Bob.
Or do you recommend a blog? Because you can make a blog private too.
I recommend blogs, but I mean there's all sorts of different types of journaling programs on the internet that, depending on what kind of journaling you're doing, like there's, for instance, livejournal.com, that's a good one if you want to start a mm-hmm. journal blog through a formatted, templated program on the internet. There's lifejournal.com. There's mytherapyjournal.com, that's another good one. And then, for instance, if you want to do a nature journal, you might want to go to 42explore.com. So there's four right there that are pretty good journaling sites. I personally don't use them just because I've been journaling. I've been keeping a steady journal since I was 16, so I'm pretty used to it. But my blog, although I do direct it towards writers, and I definitely have an agenda with how I direct it. Some of that does come from journaling, but I would recommend either starting your own blog or going to one of these four journal programs, and I'll read them off once again. Mytherapyjournal.com, livejournal.com, 42explore.com, and what was the other one?
I think it was Life Journal.
Yeah, there's Live Journal and there's Life Journal. They're two different things. And then 42 Explore. So those are four that, you know, one is for therapy, one is for nature, and the other two are templated websites that actually help you, kind of help you construct how you want your journal to be. And then,
so
of course, once you get into actual...
has lousy grammar...
Once you get into actual journaling, it will, it'll create its own shape for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would write with my left hand. I'm right-handed, but whenever I wrote in my journal, I would always write with my left hand, and it seemed like that was a freeway that wasn't blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recommend people writing with their opposite hand?
When you're journaling, I recommend writing with whatever hand gets enables you to write what you want to write and also to go deep with your writing. Now, it's really interesting you say that because left-handed people tend to use their right brain more, which is the creative side, the intuitive side. So
that
might have just been literally a response within yourself to get to your more creative side.
Right, because I'd be amazed at what came out. It's like, whoa, where'd that come from? That doesn't belong in my brain. And so that would have been
maybe
it
didn't come
from activating.
Your brain.
Yes.
And that's what we were talking about earlier in the show about how to one thing a lot of people don't realize is that our mind is a lot more than our brain. Our mind is throughout our bodies, and if we can actually anchor ourselves, our mind into our bodies, and there's ways to do that through meditation. In fact, meditation itself does that. Then we're accessing, we're accessing our cells, which are like little mini brains, and they have all these memories in them. In fact, the poet Li Yong Li, who's a great poet, he says we have 6 trillion little brains and memories in our bodies, one for each cell. And so, that's something to really, and I find it to be true. I mean, whenever I go into the body to write, it just feels much more truthful and authentic than just relying on my head. So one thing I like to show in my writing workshops is if you look at our heads and then the rest of our bodies, it looks like the tip of the iceberg and the rest of the iceberg. And key is to write from 100% of the iceberg rather than 10%.
Wow.
Well, Chris, I thank you very much. We only have about a minute to go on the show, so I thank you very much for calling in with your question.
I've just got 1,000 more. Okay. Thank you.
Well, perhaps Bob can come on another time. Again, this is Robert Yearling. He's been on tonight. He does have a website with loads of information about writing and a new blog that is having exercise and other information on writing. And do you want to tell Bob what the blog's name is and how they can find it?
Sure. The blog address is Bob Yearling, BOBYEHLING .wordpress. WordPress.com. And then it can be accessed through wordjourneys.com, through my Facebook page, and mainly those means. But I'm literally writing a blog every day for 366 days. It's kind of a parallel to my book, The Right Time. But sometimes I don't know what I'm going to write about that day. I just do it because I want to make part of it extemporaneous. But it covers just adventures in the writing life with a lot of advice and suggestions as well. So I just got it going last week, and I've already had some fun things come out of it.
Excellent. And I thank you, Bob, for being on the show. It has been a wonderful experience. I know you're going to be traveling and doing some other workshops and other events, and I'm sure they can find those events on your wordjourneys.com. And with that, I thank you very much again. This is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, I hope you gain new insights and information. Thank you again for listening. Many blessings and good night.